Thank you, Lord, O God, that in the wisdom of your Spirit, you've spoken deep into our lives. And day by day, you're transforming us. You are renewing us. You're establishing us. You are doing the extraordinary in us and with us, and also through us. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for this time that has been dedicated to the study of your word. Speak to us your very heart, your very intent, and may we be changed by it. In the mighty name of Jesus, our sovereign Lord, we ask it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you all. We're studying through the book of Matthew. We are in the 21st chapter. And we got as far as verse 21, I believe, last week. And we're going to just recap just a little bit, Tad, from verse 21. And then we're going to go on. One of the key factors that we've gleaned from the Word of God as we've been looking at it, especially from the 18th chapter on, has been that there's been an underlining theme, a thread that has been running through everything that the Lord has been saying. No matter what he said, he was also threading and linking together one fundamental thought in all of the messages, and that has to do with relationships. Relationship with God, relationship with others, relationship with yourself, how to resolve issues, to keep a wholesome relationship, and on. Relationship with God as it relates to faith, and so on and so forth. And here in the 21st chapter, I'm taking it up from the 21st verse, Jesus has already addressed a situation, our Lord had addressed the situation of trying to get figs out of a fig tree that in the natural at that particular time or season was not supposed to bear fruit. It was not supposed to bear figs, and he approached it, and the Bible tells us that he got nothing from it, and he spoke to it. He said, no one eat fruit after the henceforth. Immediately, that fig tree began to wither. And Mark 11 tells us that when they came back the next day, it had withered to this root, and Peter, remembering what had transpired the day before, talked to the Lord about it. He said, the tree that you cursed, it's withered. And the Lord used that moment to be a teaching moment in saying to them that if they had faith in God, if you have God's kind of faith, you'll be able to say to a mountain, mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and it should obey you. So verse 21 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith, if ye have faith, and then he adds this in Matthew 21, and doubt not. If you have faith and doubt not. Now, we should consider that for a moment. If you have faith and doubt not. So you can have faith and then step into doubt. So the point here again is the point of consistency. Stay with it. You have faith, you believe something, continue believing it. Don't start wavering. James says, if If you are wavering, don't expect anything from God. It's not how you start that is the matter, it's how you finish. It's how you finish in life. You know, a lot of people start well but don't finish well. And God is saying, I want you to start well and I want you to finish well. Continue. He used to be a Christian. That is not what God is talking about. That you stayed true to your belief and continued to the end. You stuck with it. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed? And you'll know the truth, and the truth will then set you free. He says, Jesus answered and said, no, I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this, not only will you be able to do exactly what I just said, what is it that he just was going to do? Because the Bible tells us Jesus answered the fig tree. In other words, he was talking to a tree and telling the tree, you cannot do this. But the word is that he answered. He answered. That means that the tree must be making a certain confession to him. The tree was telling him, it's not our season. It's not my season. This is not the time for figs to produce. And it says, since you are saying this is not your season, it will never be your season. If you say it is not your season, it will never be your season. You are not going to produce any fruit. That's it. Why is it that the Lord Jesus Christ is stepping in, recognizing, let's understand that he created that tree. He knows everything about the times and the seasons for the tree. He knew that it wasn't the right time for that fig tree to be producing, but he had need of it. And because he had need of it, that tree was meant to produce what God wanted. Just like he had need of the colt that was tied. That must mean that one of the most important prayers I can pray to change my season and to cause me to be fruitful and to experience increase is to say, God, not only do I need you, I need you to need me. Let's face it. The whole flow of things flows out of that particular framework. God, who doesn't need me for anything, putting himself in a position to need me so that he can bless me. So whenever there is a need, it's a positioning for the blessing. When it seems like, oh, there's a need, that is your setup. Jesus said to the woman at the well, give me water to drink. And then she says, how is it that you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan, for water? And Jesus, our Lord, says to her, if you knew who it is that's talking to you and asking you for water, you would have asked me, that's asking you, for water. So the best time to connect is when there is a need. That's your best time. That's your setup. So identifying it, the Bible says that he who lends to the poor or gives to the poor is lending to God. In other words, you make God owe you. Hallelujah. God, there's a need for $100,000. I don't have that kind of money. Yeah, you don't. But Lord, that which I have, I give to you. Watch this. The little boy had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus had 5,000 hungry men to feed. Not counting the women or the children. And he's saying, send them away. Jesus says, no. Tell them to sit. The Bible says he knew what he was going to do. We don't know what the situation was with that boy with five loaves and 2 fishes, how his family was. But when the Lord finished, he had 12 baskets. After feeding all of those people from those 5 loaves and 2 fishes, I don't think the disciples were busy carrying that for themselves. I think they took all of that stuff and took it to the boy's house. The family's need was met. The need was a setup to meet a need. He said, I've told a widow woman to take care of you, to Elijah. Elijah gets there. The woman is at her last cup of flour and oil. This is going to bake for her son and herself to die. Prophet says, give me some water. And she was gladly going to do that. That was sacrificial. But then he says, while you are doing that, get me some food. He says, I don't have any. I only have this much. And it's just for my son and for myself. And he says, do what you got to do. The woman goes, bakes it, brings it to the man of God. There was a need. God identified her need. And it was a setup for her abundance. Amen? So when you see a need in the house of God, you see a need in the community that God brings to your view, even if it doesn't seem that you have the capacity to meet it, step in, because that's how God's blessing is going to be linked into your life. Amen? Your provision is in you being an answer. Praise the Lord. So he says, not only are you going to do this, but he says, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, it shall be done. It shall be done. It shall be done. What was done to the fig tree? The fig tree was supposed to be a tree that was going to have its season changed forever. So that fig tree was going to produce fruit in every season. That was the intent. But because it refused to link up to that, now it had an end of seasons. So what is the Lord saying? You'll be able to do the same thing. He's saying basically, those who come, when you have a need and connect to meet that need, no matter how difficult it might have been for them to do that, their season will change. But those that don't connect to that same principle, their season ends. Make sense? I hope you didn't lose it. So connect to have needs addressed so that there can be a continuity of the grace of God on your life. Then he says, you will then to be able to say to mountains. A mountain is that which is secure. It is rooted. He says you're going to be able to say to the mountain, move out of my way. Dump yourself into the sea. He says the mountain is going to get removed and be cast into the sea. That's a major situation. Now, he says, let's go to Mark 11, and then we'll come back here. In Mark 11, it says, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, that's not just one time, say it continuously, say it, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith or continues to say. Now, if you said to a mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and that mountain up and left immediately, is there room for doubt? No. It means that you're going to say something, and whatever it is that you're saying, it's not going to happen like right away. But be stubborn just like that problem is, and keep on saying what you said. Don't change it. Keep on saying, mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. Mountain, I say, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. And the mountain says, who are you talking to? I said, mountain, be thou removed and be cast into cancer, leave this body. Oh, she's getting worse. I said, cancer, leave this body. I said, cancer, you are dead, leave this body. I said, cancer, be gone. I said, Pastor, you've been praying for 2 weeks now, it's not changed. I said, cancer, be gone. A month later, cancer, didn't you hear what I said? Be gone. He says, all of a sudden, cancer takes off. One day you come and say, what's happening here? Oh, I'm feeling good today. I'm eating everything I can grab a hold of. What? What happened? I don't know. I went to sleep and I woke up and... But what do we do? Well, I guess this thing is not working. Let's go to Mexico. Let's go find some interesting concussion in Mexico. You know, that might fix it. If you're in Nigeria, go look for some babalawo, some medicine man. If you're a native person, let's go look for the medicine man. Shake some stuff. It's changed. Where's your faith? Stick with the program. That's all the Lord is saying. Stick with the program. Don't change. Refuse to change. Stick with it. He says, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Matthew 21, 22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. You ask it in prayer, believing. Not doubting, believing. Continuously, it says, you shall receive it. It's not ifs or buts about it. He said, and when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things? By what authority doest thou these things? What had he done? He'd healed the sick. The lame were walking, the blind were seeing, the deaf were hearing. And they come to him in the temple. By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? Who gave you this authority? Who authorized you to start healing the people inside the temple? Who authorized you? Who gave you the license? When people don't care about people, all they care about is regulations. And you don't care about people. All you care about is regulations. Well, the law says this. Isn't it frustrating when you go to a place of business or whatever, and you want to do some business, and the person keeps on telling you all the reasons why they cannot, and you're explaining to them, but this is the need, and this is this, and this is this, and it's just stuck on their mindset and have no sense of compassion, no sense of empathy or understanding. Say, you know what? I hear you. Let me figure out something. I know what the law says. I know what the regulation says. I know this and I know that and I know this. But this is a very unique situation. I've got to figure out something to help you. It's called favor. And that's when you get stuck in a situation like that, says, I want to talk to your supervisor. Have you ever been in a situation like that? You're talking to this person and they keep on giving you all kinds. So, may I speak to your supervisor, please? Okay. I don't know what the supervisor is going to do. Just give me the supervisor. And supervisor comes and says, okay. I know what the regulation says. But this is what we're going to do. I remember shipping something from Toronto to Winnipeg through one of the couriers. And they damaged a whole bunch of stuff, fragile stuff. And I called them and said, well, we don't cover all this stuff. It's fragile. It's at your risk. I said, nobody told me that. Well, blah, 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 blah. I said, so, you mean I paid all this money for this stuff and I put it in your care, it is destroyed, and you're not going to do anything at all? No, we can't do anything for you. I said, get me your supervisor. And the supervisor comes, I says, this is what happened, that's what happened. He said, well, but that, I said, you mean you want me to pay for my damaged goods? I want my post, the amount of money I paid you to ship my stuff. Forget about how much I paid to pay for the stuff. I want something back. Well, we normally don't do that, but this time we're going to do that. So I got some money back. At least I didn't lose out completely. Are you with me? That is thinking through the person's... Because I brought that supervisor into my place so that he can feel what I was feeling. And I will feel, no, I don't like this. I'll do something. Well, the Lord did something for this man that came inside the temple. And he didn't say, well, you're not allowed in here. No, they were desperate. They wanted healing, and he gave them the healing they needed. And here comes this religious leaders, who gave you the authority? By whose authority are you doing this stuff? Who said you can do this? The Lord answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. Oh, the wisdom of the Lord is interesting. So you want me to tell you by whose authority I'm doing this? Yeah. Okay, I tell you what. I'm going to ask you a question. And if you answer my question and tell me what this answer is, then I'll respond to you. And he knew exactly what question to ask them. So he asked, The baptism of John. Whence was it? Where did that baptism come from? From heaven? Or of man? Is the baptism of John from God or from man? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not then believe him? Okay, we're not going to fall into that. Because the issue here, the reason he raised up John the Baptist is because these guys, religious, don't believe nothing. They don't believe. They're religious leaders that don't believe. So he set them up. Tell me. Did he give that authority from man or from heaven, from God? That he was able to baptize people. And people went to the wilderness to meet him. Thought about it. Can't say that. Watch this. He will say unto us, they are doing this, they are making this deliberation in themselves and coming to that conclusion themselves. The Lord didn't say anything, but they are projecting to him, he's going to say, why didn't you believe him? In other words, they confirmed in themselves that they did not believe. And that's exactly how judgment is going to take place. God doesn't have to do anything. You are going to condemn your own self. God is not going to have to condemn. You know, there are people that are going to end up in hell, and as soon as they see Jesus, they just walk. I know where I'm supposed to go. I know exactly where I'm supposed to go. You don't have to say anything. I know. That's them. Why didn't you believe? But if we shall say of man, we fear the people. Why are you afraid of the people? For all hold John as a prophet. The people know that this man is from God. Isn't it amazing that people many times know what the truth is? I'm awed at how spiritually intelligent sometimes the people of the world are to the things of God. Ah, this is God, this is God. And the people that are supposedly, who should know, are clueless. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell whether it's from heaven or from man. We can't. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. I already made a negotiation with you. Remember, be careful what kind of negotiations you make, right? You just negotiated with them. And based on that negotiation, they got trapped. Keep to what you said you're going to do. If you say, I'm not going to do anything, you said it. And nobody now can come and deal otherwise. Now, that's important. That last statement is very important. If you came to me and you said to me, I am going to wash your car. I'm going to clean your car for you. I'm going to make sure that it's detailed properly. I'm going to do it every month, but you don't have to pay me. Thank you. Really appreciate that. Okay, you come the first morning and you detail my car. Oh, thank you. You said you're going to come every month. You show up 3 months later, you detailed it again. I said, thank you. You come 5 months later or 2 months later, you detail it again. I say, thank you so very much. I really appreciate what you're doing for me. But if, when you're leaving, you're saying, this guy, when is he going to give me something for coming to detail his car? It's not, come on. I detailed it the first time, second time. No, that's not the deal you made. The deal you made was, I'm going to come detail your car for free. If I decide to tip you, that's my decision. We did not make a negotiation here for payment. Neither did we make a negotiation for whatever. We just said, I'm going to do such a thing. And I say, my part, I'm going to say thank you. That's it. Now, if I decide to, when you came the first time, I decide to change the negotiation. And I say, you know what? I really appreciate you doing a great job, but I don't feel good for you coming and doing this thing for free. I'd like to give you so and so. I have changed the decision, the negotiation. But neither of us need to become bitter. I shouldn't get bitter because you said yes. You said you're going to do it for free. I said, okay, thank you. And now I come and I say, I'm going to give you something for doing it. And then you said yes, that's okay. Then I get bitter that you said yes because you said you're going to do it for free in the first place. Are you with me? So both people can get all messed up. Just stick with the program. Hallelujah. Stick with it. Neither shall I tell you by what authority I do these things. That's the negotiation we made. That's what I'm sticking with. I told you, if you tell me that, if you tell me this is what the answer to my question is, then I will answer the question you asked me in the first place. Now, that's a smart deal, because if you ask Jesus a question, then he is responsible to answer your question before he asks you a question to respond to. That makes sense? I ask you a question, you respond to answer my question first before you answer the question that I'm asking you. But that's not the deal that they made. The deal is, you ask me the question, then I'm going to ask you a question, and if you answer the question that I ask you, then I will answer the question that you first asked me. First person, answer the first one, then I'll answer yours. That one's not the deal. So now they're stuck. That is wisdom. Amen? That is wisdom. This is a very sharp legal mind. Now he goes a little bit further. And he says, oh my goodness, look at the time. Let me read it, and then we'll pray. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. One said, no, I'm not going to do it. But then changed his mind and went and did as what he was asked. The second one says, I'm going to do it, but did not go do it. The Lord asked the question, whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus says unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. You said, you're going to do the will of God. You said, you're going to honor God, and you did not honor him. These publicans, these harlots, outright said, no, I don't care about God, but then changed their mind. Said, oh God, I am so sorry. He said, which of the two gets the forgiveness? Which of the two has a proper relationship? And the issue he's trying to address here, and we'll continue with that next week, is this. There's always room for repentance. There's always room for repentance. If you do something wrong, fix it. Correct it. Address it. I remember many years ago, 2-3 years ago, I was preaching here, and I was talking about blasphemy, if you remember that. And that blasphemy is in the mind of God, has to do with bringing division into the body. And while I was preaching that message here, the Lord spoke to me, said, I want you to head down to Congo. Why? This message, I want you to take it to Congo. Preach it there. Okay? So I headed down to Congo to massive congregation, some 30, 40,000 people in the service. And I began to break down the word of God. As I was breaking it down, the Lord spoke to me. He said, see that gentleman there? I said, yeah. He said, this message, I sent you to bring it specifically to warn this man here. Okay. I said, okay, I've preached it. What am I supposed to do? So tell the leader of the ministry about this particular person to be careful. Okay, so I did my part. Did everything, presented the word, let them know. And I came back home. Just cut it long story short. That particular, the leaders of that particular ministry passed on. And just as was the every detail, the strangest thing, this has never happened to me before. But the patron of the ministry was passing, and I happened to be in South Africa. And I didn't know he was there, and they whisked me to go see him. I got there and was on his deathbed. And I consulted with the Lord. The Lord told me exactly what was happening. So I started to talk to the man about what the issue was. And I wrestled him back to life. It was fine. I got him back. A week later, the Lord says, oh, he's heading back. He's going back to that same mind. So I came to him. I said, you're doing that same thing again? You're doing, and talked and counseled with him. And then I talked to some of his supporters and children and said, this is what you need to do for this man to help him stay. Anyway, he was out and then came back in and he passed, unfortunately. So I was back there again, just to express my condolence and doing ministry and stuff like that. And while I was there, the Lord gave me the strangest experience. He took me into a realm where I heard the man talking to the Lord. They're having a discussion, and I'm there listening to the discussion. And the man is telling the Lord about what he wanted to accomplish and what he didn't want to happen. And they were having certain issues. I'm just going at the surface. So I told the people, I said, this problem that you're having is not just an ordinary problem. This problem is the Lord answering the request of the patron. And if you go against it, this is going to be the cost. You are going to die. They didn't listen. So when they were trying to, the issue was getting the body from South Africa to this other country. When the body got into the plane in South Africa, heading up, the matron was heading to the hospital. So she didn't even see. But I had for one, because God shows us things to help us. So that's the same place. So this guy, it's going to be a problem. I don't know the guy from Adam. And sure enough, when the matron left, that one started creating a problem in a different country, trying to split the body. I got a call the other day. Oh, this. Okay. What do you do? Then they recalled, oh yeah, you're a great prophet. You told us what was going to happen, and it's exactly everything you've been telling us. Exactly. Why do I tell you all of that story? Everybody can repent. You can change. Find yourself heading back to the wrong direction, change it. Stop it. Because if you don't stop it, there's going to be a cost at the end. God always forewarns. But if you listen to the idols of your heart, you hear what you want. Actually, God says, I personally will answer you. Ezekiel 14. I will answer you and agree with you on what you're thinking and destroy you. And if anybody agrees with you concerning that, they too, they're gone. God is swift. Amen? God is swift. So, bottom line. And on Sunday, I'm going to talk to you about this virus. Last Sunday, I talked to you a little bit about it with Psalm 91. Yeah? I'm going to go a little bit deeper. It's not going to be what everybody likes to hear, but you're going to be hearing God's perspective on the issue. Amen? You're going to hear God's perspective. When the Lord began to speak to me about it, it all made a whole lot of sense. But I can tell you this much. It might not line up with some of the things that people are talking about, but it will be the truth. Amen? For those who want to hear the truth, to hear the truth, and if they repent, if we repent, great. If we don't, something big. All I can say to you is this. Just as quickly as this virus came, it's going to disappear. But it is a warning. The next one, if man thinks that they are so powerful, the next one, that's what they really need to be scared of, not this one. This one is just a trial run to see if people are going to change. But more serious things are coming. But we need to learn how to repent. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your many blessings. We're thankful for your word. We ask, O God, that your grace sufficient will embrace our hearts and turn our lives around permanently. And Lord, O God, that the choices we make, the decisions we make, that Lord, O God, that they be born from above. That our heartbeat, O God, be the heartbeat of the Most High. Lord, as you did with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, you broke bread, and when you broke bread with them, their eyes of enlightenment were opened. We ask, O God, that today you break bread with us and cause our eyes to be open so that we recognize for a fact that you are truly the Lord. No confusion about it. Father, don't hide from us. Reveal, manifest your glory, and help us be a people you can count on in this last of the last days. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we ask it. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, we bless you all. Services will continue unless something different transpires in the days to come. But if it does, we will continue to stream and give you opportunity to hear what God is saying day in, day out. We'll continue as best as we can to communicate the word of truth. You can always hook up by going to the app, gloryandpeace.com. Our website. Our app is down presently, so I cannot direct you that in that direction, but you can always go to the website, right? And we'll stream through the website and also through Facebook. And through Facebook, it will be important for you to like us on Facebook. That way, when we are on, when we're streaming, you get an alert, you know, and you'll know that we are on, and then you can continue that way. But in the interim, let's keep on doing what we need to do.